Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. Romans chapter 8, starting our reading, just one verse to start with in verse 6. It's good to hear all the Bibles turning. We can have the Bible on many different devices, but there's something about having a Bible like this, because you know, you take your phone everywhere, but you take your Bible to church, and there's something special about it. It's like a sword, you know how to use it. It's got all your underlinings, it's got all your notes in it, it's got the tears, it's got the sweat, it's got the dirt on the pages that you read a lot, you know. You can't really hand a phone down to your grandchildren, but you can certainly hand a Bible down. I know a preacher once, he'd always had a habit of handing his Bible down to his children. And then he decided he's going to hand his Bible down to his grandchildren. And they had so many grandchildren. And so every time he had a new grandchild, he would have to get his Bible and he would go and write all the notes back in it again. Every single note, he'd go through the whole Bible, underline and write every note in it. And he said, you know, I felt bad just giving them a Bible because I wanted to put some ammunition in it as well. And so he went through and he had about 8 grandchildren. He wrote all the notes in every single Bible. But it's a wonderful thing to bring your Bible to the house of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6 says this, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." What a contrast and what a powerful scripture. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, if I was to ask which side would you like to fall on, life and peace or death, I'm sure we would all say, I'd love to be on the side of life and peace. Well, if you want life and peace, then you must have a spiritual mind. So according to the Bible, there are only 2 mindsets that you can walk in. Either you choose, there's no in between. Either you choose to be spiritually minded or you choose to be carnally minded. And one mindset leads to death, and the other mindset leads to life. And I want to speak on this title, The Power of a Made-Up Mind. The Power of a Made-Up Mind. Let's just thank the Lord for His Word right now. We love You, Jesus. We thank You for Your Word. Lord God, we need Your Word to speak to us. Lord, we need to hear from You, God. Our hearts are hungry and thirsty to hear Your Word. Lord, let Your Word speak into our lives. Help us to receive Your Word today. Lord God, help it to change us. Help it to change our mind, oh God, into the right direction, that we leave this place changed. Oh God, we pray all of this in Your mighty and precious name. And everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There is a man in the Bible who is known for his trials. He is known for going through great hardships. Does anybody know who I may be talking about? Job, that man Job. We know about him for all the trials and all the difficulties that he went through. And sometimes Job's life gets a bit of a negative spin on it. We think about Job for all of the terrible things that Job had to go through. But if you study the Bible in its completeness, and especially the book of Job, if you study it, you'll find that the trials and testings of Job lasted for approximately only 2 years. 2 years. And then if you look at the beginning of Job's life, he was rich. He went through a time of testing. But at the end of his life, he was even more blessed. You see, Job was blessed with material things. It was astonishing. He was the wealthiest man, the Bible says, in the East. Nobody had more wealth than Job. He was blessed with material things, but he was also blessed with spiritual things. Now, how did Job become so blessed? How did Job become blessed materially? How did he become blessed spiritually? Let me tell you, young people, because most of us older people may have already figured this out, but young people, Job didn't just wake up and find himself blessed. He didn't just wake up and find himself blessed with material things. He didn't just wake up and find himself blessed with spiritual things, but Job had a made-up mind. Everybody say a made-up mind. And so sometimes as young people, especially in Australia, we get so used to the blessings that flow down from mum and dad. We wake up in a nice house, in a nice room with a nice bedroom suite and all these things, and we go into the shower and there's some nice hot water and there's some nice toothpaste and a toothbrush and all those things. We're blessed. But mum and dad have made some choices. Mum and dad had set their mind and made some decisions, and they didn't just wake up and find themselves blessed. And so young people, one day there will come a day when you're going to have to make some choices. You're going to have to make up your mind. And Job didn't just wake up one day and say, "Wow, look how blessed I am. Look how spiritually blessed I am." It doesn't happen by accident. Job chapter 1 verse 1 to 3 tells us some things about Job. It says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job." I got to stop there for a second. Just tell you something I saw. Why did the unemployed man get so excited when he read the Bible? Because he found a job. "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name..." And it reminds me, because in Mizoram they say Job, not Job. "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." Look at that. He lived a perfect and upright life. He had made a choice on how he was going to live his life. And then it tells us that he feared God and he eschewed evil. Now that word eschewed, we're not very familiar with that today, but that word eschewed basically means he kept away from evil. It can even have the connotation that he ran away from evil. So whenever there was a situation, an evil situation, or something, maybe his peers or something were doing the wrong thing, or maybe there was temptation or something like that, Job had a made-up mind that he wasn't going to stay in that place, but he was going to get out of there. He was a man, he lived a perfect and upright life, he feared God, and he eschewed evil. "And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels." You see, wealth wasn't measured by bank accounts. Wealth back then was measured by the field, what you had in your field. And he had a lot in his field. He had 7,000 sheep. He had 3,000 camels. He had 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. So this man was the greatest of all the men in the East. He was the richest man. He was the wealthiest man in the East. And I put it to you that very early on in Job's life, he realized, even before Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," Job already realized that there were two pathways in life. Two pathways. And even before Jesus said, "I am the way," Job knew that there was a broad way that leads to destruction, and that there was a narrow way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. And then Jesus made it very clear. He said, if you want to make it to heaven, you can't take the path that everybody else is taking. You can't take the path of the majority. And anybody or any preacher that would come and tell you that you can just live like the world and expect to make it to heaven, let me just say it very plainly, they're telling you lies. They're telling you lies. There is no way. There's nothing in my Bible that I can point to that can tell you that you can live like the world and still get to heaven. God has called us out from the very beginning. The book of Exodus is God calling his people out of sin. God calling his people out of that heathen place, out of Egypt, where they were in slavery and they were in bondage. God was calling them out. And so God has called us, and Job knew that God, if he wanted to be blessed, if he wanted to have success, then he had to live a called out life. That he had to eschew evil. That he had to live an upright life. He had to do those things. And he didn't just wake up one day and say, I'm blessed. Wow, look at everything. Look at my life. I'm spiritually blessed. I'm materially blessed. No, Job had made up his mind very early on in his life that he was going to live a life that counted, that he was going to live a life for God, that he was going to eschew evil, that he was going to live and pursue righteousness. The power, let me tell you today, the power of a made up mind. And some of us today, I've come to preach, we got to make up our mind. You've got to make up. There's not three choices. There's two choices. There's the carnal mind, which leads to death. Or there's the spiritual mind, which leads to life and peace. And so anybody tell you that you can live like the world and make it to heaven, they're telling you lies. Because the Bible tells us that the only way to heaven is the way of holiness. The way of holiness, the way of separation from the world. The Lord himself said, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Everybody say, come out. Come out, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You see, if we want to make it to heaven, we've got to make up our mind that we're not going to be like the world. We're going to come out of the world. We're going to be separate. We're not going to touch the unclean thing. The Word of God tells us that we are not even to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. What does it mean not to love the world? Does that mean that I can't look at that beautiful scenery and the Brindabellas and say, I love that? No, it's not that sort of love. We can love people. We can love our country. We can love those things, but we are not to love the worldly system. We're not to love the ways of the world. We're not to love the things, and we're not to idolize the things that the world idolizes. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Romans 12 verse 2 says that we are not to be conformed to the world. That word conform, that we must not be pressed into the mold of the world. Everybody say the mold. How many people know today that there is pressure out there where the world is trying to push us into a mold? Yeah, anybody know the pressure I'm talking about? The world is out there. They're trying to push us into a mold, trying to make us all believe the same thing. Even the media these days are trying to make Christians as some radicals, some crazies, and all that sort of stuff. They're trying to push us into their mold. Whatever they can do through persecution, through making fun and all of that stuff, they're trying to push us into a mold. And the Bible says that we must not be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I'm talking today about the power of a made up mind. Somebody's got to make up their mind today. When we look at our life and say, you know what? I've been worrying too much. I've been worrying too much about what the world thinks. I haven't been worrying enough about what God thinks. And if that's you today, I encourage you, quit worrying about what the world thinks about you. Stop worrying about what you know your friends think about you. Stop worrying about getting a promotion on the job. Just worry about what God thinks about you. Live a life like Job. Run away from evil. Live a perfect and upright life. Live for God. Make a choice that you're going to live and have a spiritual mind. Maybe you're here today and you say, oh, Pastor, I've been finding myself getting pushed into the world's mold. I've been finding myself just wanting to conform. You may be young people finding yourself just wanting to conform to your friends and be with your friends and dress like they dress and go the places they go and talk the way they talk. Let me tell you, don't be conformed to the world. Be conformed to the Word of God. We must not be conformed to the world. Maybe you're here today and you can say, Pastor, my love has been misplaced. I'm finding myself loving the things of the world. I'm finding myself placing my love in all the wrong places. Let me tell you, make up your mind. Make up your mind that you're going to serve God with all of your heart. Hallelujah. Sometimes we can look in this world for affirmation. We want people to affirm us, to talk about us nicely. I want people to like us and all that sort of stuff. And we want acceptance from the world. Yeah, it's all well and good for people to like us, but it's a decision. Do you want God to like you or do you want to be liked by the world? I'm talking today about the power of a made-up mind. All of this that I'm saying today could be quite offensive to somebody who doesn't want to live for God. But I'm telling you today, there is power in making up your mind. Choose you this day who you will serve. Choose you this day who will govern your life. You see, there is a broad path. And the masses and the majority of people are going down that broad path. And the Bible says that broad path leads to destruction. But Job understood that there are repercussions of good and bad decisions. He understood the principle of a spiritual mind and a carnal mind. And he made up his mind right back at the beginning of his life that he was going to live for God. It's the power of a made up mind. And somebody say amen. There are two things that will determine what you become in life. Two things. Number one, our decisions. And number two, our response to God. You see, we all have a free will in life. God lets you choose. From the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, God gave mankind a choice. As mankind, we can choose to live however we want. God isn't going to force us to do His will. He's not going to force His ways on us. Our decisions and our choices are up to us. Nobody can make us serve God. Nobody. And while we have the power to make our choices, let me remind you that yes, we have the power to make our choices. But our choices have the power to make us. Let me say that again. While you have the power to make your choices have the power to make you. And we are where we are today because of the choices that we make. You see, your choices are going to make your life, so you must be very careful what you choose. You've got to have a made-up mind. And like I said, Job didn't just wake up and find himself material and spiritually best. He knew from the very beginning that he had to make up his mind that he was going to live for God. He understood Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1, which all of us young people need to remember. Remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Start serving God at a young age. Make up your mind at a young age. You see, when you're under 18 years old, I remember when I was under 18, it just seemed like time used to drag. Anybody know what I'm talking about, young people? It's like between Christmases, it was just like an eternity. But then as I got older, I'm like, man, is it already Christmas? That was quick. And so under 18, Matthew Cutting, time drags. It's going to seem like forever until next Christmas and between birthdays. But then when you get past 18, before you know it, you're 25. And then you got to start doing the whole adult thing. And then 25 to 30, and before you know it, you're 40. And then when you're 60, it seems like yesterday you were 40. And then you're 70, then you're 80. You see, life speeds up. You see, there's never a better time to serve God than when you're young. And that's why that wise man that wrote Ecclesiastes said, remember the Creator in the days of your youth. You see, you are laying the foundation for the rest of your life as a young person. You have choices. You can make choices. You are free to make decisions and choices. God has given us a free will. And as free as you are to make your choices, just remember that your choices will make you. I'm here to encourage somebody today that right now you are laying the foundation of the rest of your life. Choose you this day who you will serve. And I'm here today, 40 years old, because of the choices that I've made in my life. I'm a pastor because of the, obviously, the call of God, but also the response of God, response to God. I finished university because I had an opportunity to go, and I worked my way through it, through the choices that I made. You look at parents in this church, they have their children in church. Let me tell you why they've still got their children in church. It's because they made some decisions. They made some decisions. You look at married couples that stay together for 50 plus years. They made some decisions. Was it easy? Probably not. I haven't been married more than 50 years. There are probably times where they got on each other's nerves. There are probably times when they felt like, you know, going sleeping outside in the shed or something like that. There are probably times when the wife probably felt like putting arsenic in his tea. But they made some choices. That they were going to stay together. It's the power of a made-up mind. That we're not quitting. We're not going to walk away. You look at young people. Young people that finish university and they get a career. They made some decisions. I'm talking today about the power of a made-up mind. And if you want to live a victorious Christian life, you've got to make up your mind. Because if you live a spiritual mind, it will lead to life and peace. Have you ever heard that saying, get a life? Do they still say that at school, Madeline? Get a life. Yeah, they still say that. That was like one of the biggest put-downs you could have. You know, someone would say, it's basically like you're a loser and you got no life. They say, get a life. Let me tell you how to get a life. The Bible says, to be spiritually minded is to get a life. Nobody ever says, why don't you get a death? Well, that's the way most people are living a carnal mind, a fleshly mind. So, we cannot live our life on preferences. We've got to have convictions. Everyone say preferences. And everyone say convictions. These are two things. They may look similar. They may sound and they may feel similar. But they may be similar until they're tested. You see, nobody died in the arenas of Rome as a Christian. Nobody died a martyr for this gospel because of preference. It wasn't some preference that led them to be burnt on a stake. It wasn't some preference that led them to be led into a Colosseum with wild animals to face their death. No, they had some convictions. They had some deep set, made up mind. They had some convictions and they weren't just preferences. They could go all the way to their grave and they weren't going to give up because they had made up their mind. And I want to ask you today, is living for God a preference or is it a conviction? Is your godly lifestyle a preference or is it a conviction? Amen. Job chapter 1 verse 6 says this. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Everybody say, Satan came. You see, there was a day, as blessed as Job was, there was a day when Job was tested. Everybody say tested. You know, we had a great conference. We were all flying high. We were enjoying the blessings of God. We were dancing. We were praying. Some people were even sitting in the front seat at church, praising God. loving God, but there comes a day of testing. You see, you can't live your life just based on conference to conference or youth camp to youth camp. But there comes a day when you're going to be tested. And there came a day when Job was tested. And they're always, and everybody knows what I'm talking about, there always comes a day. When you're young, well, your concerns are small. But there is coming a day when suddenly life gets a little bit harder. Mortgages, crying babies, sleepless nights, working every day, problems, health issues, death, relationship problems. There's coming a day, and the choices that you are making now will determine what is going to happen when you face that test. The choices and the decisions that you are making, the convictions that you are embedding into your life will determine whether you are going to stand or whether you're going to fall when the day comes of testing. How many people here today can say that you've been through a test? Look at that. Look across here. Tests. And they're still standing. Some people may say, well, only just, Pastor. Well, at least you're standing. Something got you through and it was a made-up mind. So your decisions here in church, at this altar, the prayers that you have prayed here, the vows that you have made, the change that you have made in your life, they will determine how you go, whether you are victorious when your time comes. And then God then pointed out, look, and if you turn in your Bibles, Job chapter 1, verse 7 to 8, God then pointed out how much respect that Job had for him. And the Lord said unto Satan, so Satan came, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord, Job chapter 1 verse 7, you'll have to look at it in your Bibles, and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? How would you like the Lord to say that about you? Isn't that a wonderful thing for the Lord to say about Job? Where'd you come from, Satan? You want to pick on someone? Have you considered my servant Job? He's my servant. He's submitted to me. He lives for me. Have you considered him? Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. I hope God could say that about me. And see, Satan didn't fully understand the power. This is it. Satan didn't understand the power of a made-up mind. You see, have you considered my servant Job? He's got a made-up mind. He's not just going to waver in the wind. He's not going to be tossed and fro with all the troubles of life, but he's got a made-up mind. He's got his line set. He's got his eyes set on the finish line. Hey, Satan, you can do your best. I'm going to take a hedge of protection down from around him, but you're not going to be able to touch him because he's got his mind made up. Satan, you have underestimated the power of a made-up mind. Satan didn't fully understand the power of Job's trust in God, that Job was willing to obey God. Surely I can get him to curse God, Satan's thinking, surely. Satan told God, well, if you took away Job's possessions, he would walk away from you if you took away his possessions. And God's like, no, no, no. Have you considered my servant Job? He's got a made-up mind. Listen, Satan, you're underestimating the power of a made-up mind. Job would lose respect for you, God, if you took away his stuff. No, no, no. Job has made up his mind. You see, God allowed Satan to attack Job, but Job held on to his fear for God. Satan even got to Job's wife. She told Job, curse God and die, Job. And Job still refused. Why? Because Job had a made-up mind. Verse 19 says this of Job 1. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. Let me tell you, it wasn't easy. He fell down upon the ground and he worshipped, and he said this, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Even after he left, lost everything, even after it was all gone, he said, God, you gave it to me. God, you've taken it away from me. But blessed be the name of the Lord. It doesn't matter what comes against me. My mind is set. I've got my sails set. I've got my eyes set. I've got my heart fixed. It's the power of a made up mind. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. After Satan threw everything he could at Job, Job refused. Even it's the same with us. Some of us can be under attack, but I tell you, no matter what, there is power when you have made up your mind. You know, there's times when you're going to wake up in the morning, you're not going to feel like coming to church. There's going to be times when the week is just going to have drained you so much. But let me tell you, that's the time you've got to be in the house of God most. That's when you need to hear the word. That's when you've got to be in the presence of God. There's times when you're going to feel like giving up and walking away. But it's not going to be easy. But say, no, no, no. I've made up my mind. I made a commitment. I'm going to live a spiritually mind because I want life and peace. I'm going to live my life based on the word of God. I've made up my mind. I'm preaching this in January because one of the most powerful things you can take into 2018 is a made-up mind. It'll get you through anything. It will get you through marriage troubles. It will get you through health troubles. It will get you through financial troubles. It will get you through spiritual troubles. It will get you through troubles on your job. If you just have a made-up mind, praise God. The power of a made-up mind. Jesus said this in James chapter, Jesus didn't say it, James chapter 1 verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all their ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all their ways. It's time to make up your mind. As Bishop preached at the conference, it's time to be sold out for Jesus. You know, I don't believe people have a problem with desire. They want to love God. They want to live for God. They even want to serve God to some level. However, there are so many things in the world that cloud the decision. There are so many distractions. But I've come to tell you today, put Jesus first. Make up your mind to serve God. Choose you this day that I'm not turning to the left or the right. You see, it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ is not a compromise. It's not, you know, Jesus or the world. It's an ultimatum. You know, it's not Jesus and the world. It's Jesus or the world. It's an ultimatum. Choose you. You can't have both. You can't live on both sides. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We read in the Bible as Jesus went around ministering. There are some people that follow Jesus for the loaves and the fishes. They follow Jesus for the miracles. They follow Jesus for the spectacle. For the entertainment. Historians tell us that around 25,000 people followed Jesus. He was popular. He was multiplying bread. He was multiplying fishes. He was raising people from the dead. He was opening blind eyes. He was straightening crippled limbs. There were a bunch of skeptics there. There were true believers. They were all there. They watched him and they clamored to be near him. But then a day came. Everyone say the day. John chapter 6, verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, to the crowd that followed Jesus. They're all following him for the miracles and the blessings and the spectacle, and he's so popular and he's so famous. Then Jesus said unto them, stop everybody. Listen. Listen up. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Jesus. Why did you say that? Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. It's what he said to the crowd that was gathered there. He said, except you, it's not very nice to read. You eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. They would have been alarmed. They would have been frightened. They would have known, like we know today, what those words mean. We understand the spiritual side of it and we have an understanding, but they didn't. And I can only imagine the reactions. Oh, Jesus, that's just weird. Oh, I'm not following him anymore. I don't care how many miracles he does. That's just weird. And then he goes on in John chapter 6, verse 66. Look at this. From that time, many of his disciples, what? They went back and they walked with him no more. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They turned their back. They walked away. Hey, Jesus, we like the healings. We like the multiplying of the bread and the fish. We like the show that you put on. But this whole thing about eating your flesh and drinking your blood, we just can't take that. And they walked away. And so what did Jesus do when they walked away? Jesus had a massive crowd. They were all following. Jesus kind of confronts them right up. He's confronting them with commitment. He's confronting them with a time to make up their mind. And so they walk away from him. And what did Jesus say? Jesus let them walk away. He said, walk away. And there was a few that were left. And he said, are you guys going to go too? There was no beg. You say, oh, no, let me just downplay it a little bit. Let's just find a happy medium somewhere. Is that okay? Can we find a happy medium that will make everybody happy? Can I preach something that's just going to make everybody happy? No, let me tell you, there's only one way. There's only one truth. There's only one word of God. We've got to preach it. It's not about making people happy. It's about commitment. It's about making up our mind. It's the power of a made up mind. And if you're going to make it, you're going to have to make up your mind. And so Jesus, he wasn't about enticing them. Oh, come back. You know, we'll soften it up a bit. No, he looked at them and he said, those that were left, he said, well, are you guys going to go too? And Peter didn't understand the flesh and the blood stuff. He didn't understand it, but his answer settled it once and for all. In John chapter 6, verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, we've got nowhere else to go. You have the words of eternal life. Lord, I've made up my mind. I made up my mind a long time ago. There's only one path. I can't see anywhere else. I can't see another path. I can't see another life. I can't see another way. Lord Jesus, you are the way. You are the truth. You have the words of eternal life. There is no other way. Let me tell you, he's right. There is no other way. And he had made up his mind and he didn't walk away. I'm talking today about the power of a made up mind. Matthew chapter 6 verse 24 says this, no man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The musicians could come. You see, a double-hearted and a double-minded person finds no success on either side. They're unstable in all their ways. You can't do it. It's impossible to have a good marriage and a divided heart. It's impossible to have success and a divided heart because you've been pulled in all directions. You see, you got to make up your mind, commit yourself to God, and only then will you find the true way to life. It's the power of a made-up mind. Let's all stand in this place. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 to 6. It's going to be on the screen. I really want people in this place today to make a fresh commitment to God. What's going to get us through 2018 and everything that life may throw at us, that circumstances may throw at us? What is going to get us through is the power of a made-up mind. I serve God no matter what comes my way. Put Jesus first in my life, no matter what comes my way. I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to obey the word of God, whatever comes my way, because I've made up my mind. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall they be when you come in and when you go out. How do you get all those blessings? To make up your mind, to hearken diligently to the voice of God. So I've come to encourage somebody today. Anybody ever seen those people that when the water's so nice, everybody's swimming, there's always that one person that's like just putting their toe in the water all the time? Yeah? Don't want to plunge in? Well, I've come to tell somebody, stop putting your toe in the water. Make up your mind. Come on in. Living for Jesus is the best life of all. Serving and following Him. Because to be carnally minded, to serve your flesh, will only lead to death. But to be spiritually minded leads to life and peace. David said it like this, one thing. Everybody say one thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. David said, I've made up my mind. There's only one thing. There's only one way to be in the house of God, to serve God, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Psalm 57 verse 7, David said it again. He said, my heart is fixed. I made up my mind. My heart is fixed, O God. I will sing praises unto Thee. I've come to encourage the church today. It's time to make up our minds. It's time to set our minds that we're gonna live a spiritual life. We're gonna live spiritually, not carnally, to lay aside the ways of the flesh and live our life for God. Hallelujah. This altar is open. It would be a great place to come and pray before you go home today. Come and commit, come and kneel before the Lord and say, God, I've been through my tough times. Oh God, but now I've made up my mind. I'm committed to you, Jesus. I want to serve you. I want to love you, oh God. I want to grow in you, God. I don't want to turn my back, oh God. I don't want to walk away. I want to be committed to you, Lord Jesus. Come on, somebody. Make up your mind today. Living for Jesus is the best life of all. Serving.